This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 2172, Will versus Going To, Part 2, Chunks That Ignore the Rules.
Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 200 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection, with your American host, Aubrey Carter, the IELTS whiz, and Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, coming to you from Arizona and Colorado, USA. And to get your transcripts delivered by email every week, go to allearsenglish.com/subscribe. You won't be sorry if you learned these English chunks. In this second part of a three-part series, throw out the grammar rules that you learned last time to get these common chunks right in native English conversation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, Aubrey. How's it going today?
I'm great. How are you, Lindsay?
I'm feeling good, but I do have a question to start off the episode for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
So when was the last time that you pushed a decision off until later, some other time?
Ooh, I'm pretty bad at doing that. The most recent thing I can think of, we just got my daughter her learner's permit to practice so that she can get a driver's license. Okay. And it reminded me when my eldest daughter, when she was old enough to get her learner's permit, she was kind of nervous, didn't feel ready to drive. And so we pushed it off. We let her sort of delay. But then by the time she actually was old enough to drive, and she was excited and ready, she had to wait because you have to have had your learner's permit for 6 months to practice.
Oh, no.
And so we really regretted pushing that off, delaying. So we're like, oh, now she's ready and we messed up.
Yeah. So you learn, and now the second time around, you're wiser and ready to go.
Exactly. So now our second daughter, the day she turned 15 and a half, I was at the MVD with her. We were like ready to get her permit. We were not even going to wait. One day. I hate the MVD though, don't you, Lindsay? It's the worst.
Oh yeah, I guess I call it the DMV, but yes, this is the place where you get your license renewed, you get your license for the first time, register your car, whatever it is you have to do. Notoriously awful and slow government services.
The acronym might be confusing for if listeners out there, if you've been to the US or if you've moved to the US, you might be like, why is it sometimes DMV and sometimes MVD? Some states call it the Department of Motor Vehicles, DMV, and some call it Motor Vehicle Department, MVD. Hmm. Weird. Okay. I don't know why. Can we just pick one and stick with it?
I know. I don't know why either. That's really weird. But guys, now you know, if you're living in the US, at some point, you will have to go to the MVD or the DMV.
And the lines
and
are long.
Be ready.
They are grumpy.
Basically, most of the time when I have to go to the DMV, I plan on being there for a number of hours.
Oh,
I will bring my work with me because it could be long.
Absolutely. So, at least we have phones now because you're standing in line forever. It's the worst.
Not good.
So this is fun. I'm glad you asked me that question. We're trying to find a question about putting something off until later because we're teaching a few chunks today that we use when we talk about this. And this is actually a really fun way to connect with people to ask if they're the type of person to maybe procrastinate, push something off until later.
Yeah.
I was like knowing that.
Yeah. And this is part two of a three-part series about will versus going to. Aubrey, where was part one and what did we learn?
We recorded part one for the Business English Podcast. It was episode 232, Will or Going To, Your Future Grammar Questions Answered. This was an amazing question from a student about when to use will and when to use going to. We get that student question a ton. So if you missed an episode, go and check it out and be sure you're following the Business English Podcast so you don't miss any of the amazing episodes we record over there.
Oh, for sure. And that in that episode, we really got into the nuts and bolts of will versus going to. You got the grammar, guys. So go over and follow the Business English Podcast to get that episode. And now we're here for part two. There will be a part three in this series, Aubrey. Where will that one be?
Yes, it's going to be on IELTS Energy with some idioms we use that have the word will. So make sure you're following IELTS Energy too to get part three.
I love it. And we had a poll that we want to update our listeners on. This was an interesting one about saying often or often, right?
Yes. If you missed that episode, I loved it. It was 2146. Lindsay says often. Yes. I say often with a silent T. Go check it out if you missed that episode. There really is no wrong answer, both in the United States and in England. You're going to hear both, but we wanted to know what you guys say.
Yeah.
And the results were interesting. You want to share them with us, Lindsay?
Very interesting. So with the T, which is the way I say it, we got 25%, only 25%, right? One in four. Right.
And without the T, the way I say it was 75%. Mm. Very interesting. And it's not too late. You guys can still go and fill out that poll on Spotify. I've kind of want to check back later and see when we get even more results. But I've been listening and I noticed my sister, we grew up in the same state. She pronounces the T like you. She says often.
Interesting.
And so I'm really wondering, because I didn't really think about it when I was younger. I may have pronounced often, but where I live now, my husband's family doesn't. And so I think I've sort of picked that up.
Oh, fascinating. This is great. I love this. It's good. It's good to listen to family and friends. But obviously, as we said, nothing wrong with either one. Absolutely. But it is interesting to see the breakdown for our listeners. Only one in four, right, will say the T, pronounce the T. Very interesting.
It is interesting. So yeah, love those Spotify polls. Let your voice be heard. We want to know. I love
it. Yes, so good. All right, Aubrey, let's get into the content for today for our listeners. Today we're going for these chunks, right?
Yes. There are chunks where you can't choose will or going to.
Right.
Grammar is sort of thrown out the window.
Yes.
Everything you learned in that Business English podcast, usually, yes, you need to know will or going to. There are ways to know, pro tips we shared, but sometimes there's a chunk and you have to use will.
Yeah, it's kind of fun how, you know, in the last episode in this series, we taught you all the grammar. We got really deep into it. And now today, as you said, Aubrey, we're just throwing all those rules out the window.
We do this a lot in English, right? Where grammar rules sort of go out the window, or vocabulary for idioms, for chunks that have to be word for word that might not make sense as far as grammar and what the words actually mean.
Oh, I'm excited. I wonder if our listeners have heard these chunks. If not, you're going to hear them a lot. All right, so let's get into the first one, Aubrey. What is it?
Yes, this first one is we'll see. And this is very idiomatic. You can't say I'll see, he'll see, and you cannot say we are going to see, right? It's a chunk. You have to use it just like this.
And I feel like moms and dads have a trademark on we'll see, because I remember getting this a lot as a kid. I think maybe I said this before when we went over this one, but or mentioned it somewhere on the show. You know, asking your parents, can we do this? Can we do that? Oh, we'll see, right? Because you don't want to commit and you don't want to say no, because you don't want to lose their hope and their positive energy around something.
That came up in when we were talking about will versus going to. That's what gave us the idea for this part of the series. And you're right. Yeah. I say we'll see all the time to my kids, but it comes up in other conversations as well. We're going to do a mini role play to show how it might come up in a conversation. This just means like the speaker does not intend to make a decision right now or immediately. They're going to decide later, but it's a chunk. We have to say it just like this. We'll see. We don't actually mean we. We really mean I. Like, I'll decide later. But the way we say this is, we'll see.
Yeah, that's the interesting part, right? The pronoun is a little bit different. So let's do a role play here and show our listeners outside of the context of being a parent, right?
Exactly.
This is another way. So are you meeting up with friends this weekend?
We'll see. I might have to play it by ear since I haven't been sleeping well.
Yeah, I like it. It is, it's giving the reality of you're just not sure yet, right?
Exactly. This, I would definitely use it this way. I say this a lot, not just to my kids, but if I just want to say like, ooh, I'm not sure yet, this is such a native natural chunk to do that.
I love it. Okay, so we'll see, guys. Write that one down so you have it in your list. What would be the second one, Aubrey?
Okay, the second one is very idiomatic as well. Time will tell. And it just means like, ooh, I can't know that. We won't know that until later.
Mm, all right, here we go.
So a little mini role play here. I'll start us out. Do you think he'll like that job?
I'm not sure. Time will tell. Yeah.
Nice. I use this a lot. It's very friendly, but it's also, I don't know, it's interesting how it's almost up-leveled. Like it feels a little more formal to me than just we'll yes. see.
I would say so. Time will tell. Feels a little sing-songy, kind of thinking mm-hmm. about the future in a uncertain way, a little less common than we'll see. We'll see is said everywhere all the time, right?
Exactly. I agree. You may hear this at work or someone older than you may say it. I can imagine my parents, my grandparents saying time will tell. I think right. I still would say it every now and then in certain contexts, maybe to keep something light. Well, time will tell.
Right. But it's a little bit less of a daily use thing. It's about Absolutely. The future, envisioning what's going to happen, right?
I agree. Okay. Whereas we'll see, I say it probably multiple times a day.
Absolutely. Okay, Aubrey, we're diving into number three, our third chunk, where the rules don't matter. So we're not talking about the rules today. What is our third chunk?
Yes. Now, this one's really interesting. It's someone like they or I, they'll mm-hmm. be sorry. Like they will mm-hmm. be sorry. We always make it a contraction. Maybe I'll be sorry. You'll be sorry. He'll be sorry. It just means someone will regret a decision in the future. Especially we use this when they're not taking our advice. We might mm-hmm. say something, right? If they say, I'm not going to take your advice. Well, you'll be sorry.
You'll be sorry, right? A little tone of voice going on there. And for this one, obviously we can change the pronoun before with we'll see. The pronoun really doesn't change, right? As you said, Aubrey, we never say right. I'll see, they'll see. But exactly. with this one, it's really who you're talking to. So that's important to know the difference between one and three here.
Right. Absolutely. And we want to talk about, you want to be careful. Like you can always say, I'll be sorry, right? I might say, I think right. if I don't take this opportunity, I'll be sorry. That just means I might regret it. Mm-hmm. This, there's no negative, there's no judgment or criticism, but yeah. that does exist if you say this about someone else or potentially can, right?
Interesting. Okay. Let's see this in a role play here. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. So she decided not to take the scholarship.
Ugh, she'll be sorry.
Yeah.
I wonder there's definitely some like judgment, criticism. And if we're saying this about when someone doesn't take our advice, I feel like it can sound a little petty. Mm-hmm. Like our example earlier, oh, you're not going to take my advice? You'll be sorry.
Right. Because honestly, you have to let people figure things out on their own. You know?
Absolutely.
I think when I was a teenager, things like belly button rings were really hot and like nose rings were really hot. And I think that's something where maybe people do it when they're a certain age. And then maybe later they're like, oh, I got an infection or something and they're sorry, but they have to figure that, or maybe they're glad they made that decision, but they have to figure right. it out on their
own. Wait, think that, you know? Don't say it out loud, right?
Yeah, right. It sounds kind of judgy and you really don't know how someone will ever feel about their own decisions later on. Right.
Exactly. But I do feel like this is a great phrase. I use it a lot for humor to remove awkwardness from a situation. So we have a little role play to show how that might work. You and I are playing tennis in this role play. I'll start us out. Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Do you want me or Jack to be your teammate?
Oh, I'm fine with either. Jack, want to be on my team?
Okay. I see how it is. You'll be sorry. This is how I would use it, right? Mm-hmm. To make fun, to play like you haven't chosen me. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like it would be awkward for me to say nothing about that and just be serious. Then maybe you'll think I'm offended. But
right.
if I joke like this,
right.
it's really lighthearted. There's no awkwardness.
And especially if we're on the courts, we have our rackets in hand, we're yes. already in that competitive mode. So it also makes sense in terms of the context that you said it there. Ooh, you'll be sorry. You just
right. a little bit of trash talk.
Yeah. A little trash talk.
I love it. These all three of these chunks are so useful, but I think it's really important just to point out for you guys to notice there are chunks in English where you don't have the option of using either will or going to. You have mm-hmm. to use it word for word.
Yes, I love that. So we are learning the grammar rules. We're learning to understand and feel into what makes sense going to or will. But today, we're just learning the chunks. So don't even think about the grammar in this case, right, guys? Integrate these into your daily speech. I love it. Any other takeaways for our listeners today?
I think just something you mentioned recently, we mention this often, mm-hmm. but just how important it is to not translate from your first language. It's so tempting to do
yes.
that. And when it comes to chunks, idioms like this, that's we can really get in trouble, right? They're not going to yes. translate directly. It doesn't mean the same thing word for word. Mm-hmm. We have to learn it as a chunk.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Learn the chunks, go for it fully, guys, and always go for connection. I love it. All right, Aubrey, thanks for being on the mic together today.
Awesome. See you next time.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to All Ears English. Would you like to know your English level? Take our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/fluency score. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.